Showers tomorrow, 55. It becoming partly sunny, 50 to 55 Wednesday. Thursday, sunny, 50 to 55. And rain and snow changing to all rain Friday, 45 to near 50 degrees. I'm meteorologist Bill Jackwiman, and that's your Weather Center forecast from 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Every Tuesday morning at 9, the curtain goes up on Center Stage with Pamela Kuhn, focusing on arts and entertainment. Pamela searches for the artist's creative journey and interviews guests ranging from singers, musicians, dancers, actors, visual artists, and authors. It's the show about the artists and their craft and the personal stories that make up their incredible lives. That's Center Stage every Tuesday morning at 9 on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
The opinions expressed in our talk shows are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
Welcome to the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour on 1490 WGCH, presented by the Greenwich Sentinel Foundation.
Good afternoon. This is Beth O'Malley, part of the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour. Be well with Beth on 1490 WGCH or WGCH.com anywhere. And I am here today. We are exploring chiropractic care with myofascial release techniques. And my guest today is Dr. Alyssa Diamond Fields. Welcome, Alyssa.
Hi.
Nice to be here. It's great to have you here. We have lots ahead of us in terms of learning quite a bit about so many techniques that many of us don't really know a whole lot about. And just for example, I'm so excited to ask you some questions about prenatal care as well as pediatric care with chiropractic treatment. What I want to do first, though, is give our listeners some overview of the upcoming shows. I am booked just about straight through right now till June with incredible speakers. So I just want to mention that next week we'll have two folks on from Fusion School, which is an alternative high school. They're all over the country. They originated out of California. And it's when a regular mainstream high school or private high school is not for you, but you're looking for something for your child that is unique and more one-on-one care in terms of their academic needs. And in terms of locally, we have a school right in New York City as well as one right here in Stamford, Connecticut, down by the water. So I'm really thrilled to have their new director on. On April 10th, we have Susan Bobel, one of the top breast cancer experts out of Mount Sinai in New York City, and she will be sharing with us the latest research on breast cancer. And that show I actually pre-taped, and it's unbelievable in terms of the information available to our listeners on breast cancer research. Not when you open up a magazine and just read a little bit about breast cancer. This is the real nitty-gritty of if you wanted to ask the top expert in New York every question you wanted to know about breast cancer, listen to the show. April 17th, to follow up on that show, we are going to have the Junior League of Greenwich's Breast Cancer Support Group folks here, and they'll be talking about what services are available here to us locally. On April 24th, I'm so excited to have on the air my dear friend Michelle, who is Ablin, who is a social worker and clinician, psychotherapist specializing in PTSD. She was in a plane crash back in the 80s. I believe it was around 1987, and it was a significant, very large plane crash that was down in Texas. That was all over the media. Some of you may remember it. And we'll be talking to her about how surviving that crash changed her life and how she then went on to become an expert in PTSD. After that, the following week, I'm having one of my dear friends, Dr. Jody Speaker, on. She is a LASIK expert in both New York City and in on Westchester Avenue right over here in White Plains. She performs LASIK surgeries as well as being an ophthalmologist, and I'm excited to ask her a little bit about that. On 5/8. We have Patricia Pagano joining us, a local child therapist right in Cos Cob. On 5/15, We have Ashley Watson, and she's also a local teen and adolescent psychotherapist right in Kazkabal, so right by the high school. And for my 50th birthday, I am having one of my good friends, Joan London, join us, and that will be on June 5th. I'm really excited to have Joan on the show, and we've been talking about this for quite some time, and she has some time in her schedule where we can get her in here to the studio, so I'm thrilled about that. So back to Dr. Alyssa Diamond Fields. What I'd like to do is just let our audience know a little bit about your practice. You're the owner and director of Heal Space Integrative Center, which is right here in Summer Street in Stamford. And you've been in business in Stamford since 2001. Now, on a personal note, you're a health freedom advocate, and we may talk a little bit about that today if we have some time, because you do so much work between here and D.C. in terms of healthcare advocacy, as well as a yoga enthusiast and a mom, and that's how we met at the PTA. Mm-hmm. We're both involved in the wellness committee for PTAC. Your work combines chiropractic with myofascial release techniques. Now, I only just recently heard about myofascial techniques, and mm-hmm. so I'm really anxious to ask you more about that from your perspective. I know that it helps restore balance to the body's structure and the nervous system to improve overall health, balance, and comfort. And some of my clients who are seeing me for psychotherapy have had this type of care, and they'll describe to me how it's this gentle kind of a massage, but I'm curious to hear more because I'm one of those deep tissue muscle girls, you know. Mm-hmm. The more pain, the better. So this is a little different.
It goes both ways.
Ah, okay,
it does.
Good.
Myofascial release. So let's just, I'll kind of back up a little bit. So, you know, I use it within a chiropractic technique, within a chiropractic situation. So when I'm looking at someone's body, and whether it's a child or an adult, a senior, an athlete, you know, I'm always looking for where movement is restricted and where things are just not moving properly or functioning properly. And you'll feel, as you go down someone's spine, as you feel around the joints, you can feel differences in tone, and you can feel differences in how the joints are moving. So you have 24 movable bones in your spine between your head and your sacrum, and each one of those bones freely moves, or should be freely moving. And so there's a lot of areas where things can get jammed up, and just from the way we live, you know, the way we sit, the way we sleep, the way we sit at our desk, the way we carry our book bag, the way we carry car seats, and, you know, the baby, and all of these things affect our body. And you know, unless we're really paying close attention on a daily basis to undoing these forces, things get jammed up. Mm-hmm. And we have our brain extends down through the hole in the skull and becomes the spinal cord that's protected inside your spine. And every single bone in the spine has nerves coming out that flow to the rest of the body. And that's how our brain controls everything within our body. So when things get jammed up within the spine, it can irritate that neurology. It can irritate those nerves. So if the brain is sending a message down to your organs and there's an interference or an area where the nerve is getting irritated, you're not going to get this clear communication. So the whole role in chiropractic is really to restore proper movement to all the joints in the spine, but really also to restore proper nerve flow and just get rid of any of that kind of interference. And so when you have everything moving the way it should be, flowing the way it should be, we have good function.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So the myofascial portion, fascia, so are you familiar with fascia, that word?
I know the word, but can you describe what that means?
Sure. So everything in our body, all of our muscles, all of our organs, everything's wrapped in fascia. It holds it all together. It's kind of I think of it as like a spider web. So it's surrounding every muscle fiber, every organ, and it really is holding everything together in compartments. So when you have an area where the fascia is restricted, it can be up in your neck, but it might affect you all the way down to your knee.
Okay, got it.
So when you release that, and it can be light work releasing it, or it can be heavy work releasing it.
Okay.
So some of the trigger point release work that I do, which is also myofascial release, is a deeper sustained hold on a tight spot.
Yes.
And you'll feel that good pain radiating to other areas, and then you'll feel it release. So that is also part of this myofascial release technique.
Okay, great. Well, in terms of the chiropractic care, explain to me, how does microfascia work?
Myofascial.
myofascia. I'm going to struggle with that word.
It's okay.
How does it fit into chiropractic care?
So it's just one part of many different techniques. So the goal is to restore movement and function.
Right.
And it's just another way to get there.
Okay. And today, will you share with us some of those other techniques, what they are?
Sure. I mean, there are, when you talk about chiropractic, there are hundreds of techniques.
Oh, I see.
They all stem from a handful. Some are more firm, where you'll hear some cracking or popping. Some are tonal, where we use instruments or very, very light touch. And there's no sounds, right?
Okay.
And again, they're all really geared towards creating balance in the body and the nervous system, and they're different means to getting same, different ways to get to the same end.
Got it.
Right. So myofascial release is a part of the work I do in that realm.
Now, I know you studied psychology undergrad.
Yeah.
In fact, we were both at SUNY Albany. We just missed each other. Yeah. But your work then moved on to working with the human body at the Life Chiropractic School in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And in terms of that, when you're treating someone today, are you addressing solely the physicality, or are you also addressing the emotionality?
Well, you know, can you really separate it out?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's all one and the same. And I can tell you after 19 years in practice that people hold emotion absolutely in their body, and it absolutely manifests. You know, when we talk about, there's a word in chiropractic called subluxation, and it's kind of our one of our main words that we use that describes when an area of the body has irritated nerve flow. It can be restricted joint mobility creating nerve flow, but it can also be chemical, emotional, or physical.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And so these subluxation traditionally means less than a dislocation, but in this term it means impedance of free nerve flow in the body, right?
Right.
So, you know, we can be affected chemically, we can be affected emotionally. When someone has a lot of stress, we're releasing a lot of cortisol into the body. And how do we hold our posture? Right? Ears, shoulders up by the ears. And certainly when we're in a stressful mode, in sympathetic mode, chiropractic actually helps to bring the body back into parasympathetic. And you can that can be said for many of the healing arts. So whether you're talking about acupuncture, chiropractic, meditation, yoga, all of these things work to bring that balance to this sympathetic, parasympathetic system in our body, which for people who don't know what sympathetic is, that's our fight or flight. That's when somebody pops out at you and you get scared and you're ready to either run or fight.
Right.
And what happens? The blood goes away from our organs and into our extremities, and our eyes dilate so that we can run or fight. But when the blood goes away from the organs, we can't digest food, we can't heal, we can't have our primary functions happening. So a lot of us are stuck in that sympathetic state on a chronic basis because of just our lifestyles.
Right.
And so when we're working with these people, you know, we're really working to bring that nervous system back into relaxation mode. And parasympathetic, for people who don't know that term, is when the blood goes into the organs and away from the extremities, and our bodies can, we can sleep, we can digest food, and we can heal and turn cells over and all that good stuff. So my role when I'm working with people, you know, is not just releasing restrictions and all that, but really to help balance that nervous system from sympathetic to parasympathetic.
Got it. You know, there's in my work with folks, there are times when I'm sitting with a client and they're talking about lower back pain.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first go-tos that I provide is a book by John Sarno,
Mind. Yes, Healing Back Pain.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, Healing Back Pain. And it's all about that connection of anger and unresolved issues to the back pain. So that's a wonderful resource. But there's such a strong connection there.
Absolutely. And any pain.
Yeah. I had interviewed back probably about 3 months ago or so, I interviewed Tom Nash, who's a herbal medicine expert as well as acupuncture. Okay. And his specialty and what he's known for as an educator of acupuncture and Chinese herbal medicine on the East Coast, he is probably our number one guy for psychiatric treatment with acupuncture.
Fascinating.
And so that's another good resource. And I have all the shows listed up on O'MalleyWellness.com that folks can go to, or Facebook on Be Well with Beth. But that's an incredible show that I think will tie in very well to what we're talking about today. Now, why do babies and children use chiropractic care? And
yes. Yeah. So the first thing, you know, I want to talk about with that is, you know, I was seeing adult patients for quite a time before I started really getting into the prenatal and pediatric work. And I spend a lot of time with my adult patients undoing issues that happened when they were young.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I see someone come before me in the office, they are a result of all the issues that have gone on in their body in their lives. All of the ski falls, all of the bumps and bruises and different things that happen to somebody within their life. And then the years of sitting at a computer, years of posture, you know, all of that stuff. So with children, nipping something in the bud is vital, not just because, you know, you want to fix any issues that happen, but when they are in periods of growth and development, if something is restricted or off, that's going to become part of them as they grow. And that's going to absolutely determine their path that their body's going to go down. You know, we see 50, 40, 50, and 60-year-old people on their x-rays all have degeneration in their spine. You don't have to have degeneration in your spine. You know, if we maintain movement flexibility and function over a lifetime, it's not going to degenerate at the rate that someone who has restrictions and doesn't do anything about it is going to, right? So babies also go through a birth process that can be pretty aggressive. And their structures are so very, very, you know, there's no muscle tone, very, very tender little, you know, even the bone is not quite developed yet.
Yeah.
So going through this birth process, a lot of kids will have some restriction in the upper spine. And what that winds up looking like, it can be they have a head turn preference, where they only want to turn their head to the right. They only want to breastfeed from one side. They're having trouble breastfeeding. They're having trouble latching.
No.
They're having colic. They're having reflux. They're having all sorts of gas issues. So our cranial nerves, not to get too dry here, but we have one that comes through the skull called the vagus nerve.
Yeah.
And it controls how food moves through the body. So when babies are about 3 weeks, they start lifting their head. If there is restriction at the occiput or at that first vertebrae and they start lifting their head and that neurology gets irritated, they're not going to move food through as quickly and they're going to get gassy, right? And babies will tell you when they're irritated. A baby should not be irritated. And I have a lot of patients who come in and they say, oh, I was told it's okay, it's normal, they'll grow out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're crying for a reason.
Right.
You know, they should be at ease. They should cry when they're hungry. They should cry if they're wet. They should cry when they're tired. But they shouldn't really be crying much past that, right?
Got it.
So that's one of the big reasons we see babies. And then through childhood, as they go through milestones, it's just good to get them checked to make sure everything is balanced. And kids adjust really quickly, really easily. The techniques are really, really gentle. Does not look like an adult adjustment for the most part, depending on the age.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we'll see changes pretty quickly, pretty immediately, because their physiology is changing so quickly. You know, they're growing so quickly, and it doesn't take a lot to make a big change with these kids. And it's beautiful to see ease return to their bodies.
So what you're saying, in effect, is if one has a child with colic, that it is worth a consultation with someone like yourself.
Absolutely. There's different reasons why babies can have colic, but it's certainly worth talking about, for sure.
Oh, that's really helpful. Mm-hmm. Good. Where were you when Jimmy was 6 months old? I think, you know, we just did the old fashioned, I think it was at my Lanta or something, and it was just, we went through bottle
after
bottle.
You gotta do what you
gotta do,
you know, as a new parent, especially, you know, this is one of the things I love about working with my prenatal patients. We need support around that time.
Yeah.
And, you know, just having another person to go to that can help you or can support you is a huge thing to have.
You know, and it never even occurred to me at that point in my life. I mean, we're going back 14 years. Mm-hmm. I really didn't think of a holistic approach. I mean, and now today, I think our first go-to is a holistic approach.
It depends.
It depends on the person, right? Yeah. But you know, less medicine and more, what can I do that might be little more in line with nature?
Shouldn't it be least invasive first?
Right.
Care.
Right.
Right.
Right, exactly.
Across the board.
Yeah.
It's a complicated time.
Now, how can chiropractic care improve pregnancy and birth process?
I love this question. So as we are growing a baby in our bodies, we're, of course, going through so many changes really, really rapidly. And we're talking about gaining 30 pounds over a six-month period. Because mm-hmm. really the first few months, you know, it doesn't ramp up. But then it really, really goes quickly. And we also have hormones. We have relaxin. We have all this stuff that makes our ligaments loose. So any irritation or any restrictions that you have in your body, in your back specifically, before you go through those changes, as you start growing that baby and your center of gravity changes, that's when things start to surface. And we see for many of our patients around the 20-week mark is when back pain starts showing up. My patients who I see through the pregnancy who were with me before often don't have a lot of back pain. You know, it depends on the history and the person. But you can really take a preemptive role if you go in before you even get pregnant. Because once somebody has a really large belly, we can certainly work with it, but it's much, much easier to correct stuff before the body goes through all those changes.
Okay.
Now, the birth process. So our pelvis has a lot of bones that can shift and can get restricted. We have ligaments from the uterus that attach to those bones. So we have a ligament from the pubic bone to the uterus. We have a ligament from the sacrum to the uterus. And so when there's restriction in these joints of the pelvis, it can actually put forces on the uterus that can make it not as open and loose as it could be. And so we're always concerned about really encouraging the best position of the baby for birth, and whether that's, you know, head down or whether it's on the left side or having the smallest part of the head presenting, you know, all of these things are affected by how the uterus is lying and sitting. So as we adjust someone's body and pelvis and release everything, the uterus is also going to relax, also because the neurology to the uterus is being affected, but also because we're letting the ligaments attached to the uterus relax as well.
Got it.
Sorry, that was long.
No, very helpful. Yeah. Well, when we come back, we're going to explore how chiropractic care is different than physical therapy or massage. We'll also talk about posture awareness. And as we're sitting here, I'm very aware that my posture is not quite what yours is. And staying healthy and supporting our immune system. So this is Beth O'Malley on Be Well with Beth, part of the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour on 1490 WGCH or WGCH.com anywhere.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Periods of rain tapering to showers this afternoon, milder 50 to 55. Considerable clouds tonight, a few showers, low 40s. Rain and rain showers tomorrow, 55. And becoming partly sunny, 50 to 55 Wednesday. Thursday, sunny, 50 to 55, and rain and snow changing to all rain. Friday, 45 to near 50 degrees. I'm meteorologist Bill Jacquemin, and that's your Weather Center forecast from 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
The Greenwich Sentinel Foundation's mission is to bring together and celebrate our community. That's why the Greenwich Sentinel Foundation supports this show on our hometown radio station, 1490 WGCH, and why we email every single day the top five things to do today in Greenwich. We welcome new residents with our welcome basket and keep the Greenwich calendar at greenwichcalendar.org. And of course, we support the Greenwich Sentinel newspaper. You can learn more at greenwichsentinel.com. And thank you for your support.
Hi, I'm Lisa Wexler. Join us every weekday on this station between 4 and 6 o'clock p.m. Hey, if you're thinking about it, we're talking about it. We're listening to what's happening in our community, and we want to hear from you as well. We talk politics, science, and the arts. We consult with experts, and we want your opinion. So join us every weekday. I'm Lisa Wexler right here at 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Good afternoon and welcome back. This is Beth O'Malley on Be Well with Beth, part of the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour on 1490 WGCH or WGCH.com anywhere. And I am here this afternoon with Dr. Alyssa Diamond Fields, the owner and director of Heal Space, an integrative center in Summer Street. We are talking about chiropractic care with myofascial release techniques. I got it right. I said it. We're going to be talking a little bit further here in terms of posture awareness, the difference between chiropractic care, physical therapy and massage, as well as staying healthy and supporting our immune system. What I want to mention, though, first about Dr. Diamond Fields is that she has been working locally since 2001, and her work really combines myofascial release techniques, which basically restore the body's balance to structure in the nervous system, along with chiropractic care, and looking at all types of issues, working with pregnancy, working with pediatric care, as well as with adults. Now, Dr. Diamond Fields works with both children, athletes, and also seniors, which is really interesting. Her passion, however, is supporting the pregnant woman through the physical stresses of pregnancy and setting infants on the right path early. And I had mentioned earlier in the show that I wish I had found her when my little one was a few months old and had just incredible colic. There's so much that this type of work can do for our health and our well-being, and it comes more out of a holistic place, which is, you know, always my go-to these days. In terms of chiropractic care being different from PT or massage, how would you explain the differences there?
Sure, I'll certainly try. So most people, you know, they kind of blend them together a little bit. And chiropractic specifically works on the structures of the spine and the nervous system. So, you know, my main goal when I'm examining somebody is really to, you know, go down the spine and really feel where their restrictions lie and where things are not moving properly and where things are not functioning properly. And, of course, there's other tests that we do as well. But in massage, you're really doing work specifically on the muscles. You're not really addressing spinal restriction alignment, that type of thing. Massage is wonderful, and it's a really, really great adjunct to chiropractic care. I think both together quite powerful. And the addition of physical therapy is also quite powerful. Physical therapy does, their scope is broad, and they do encompass many different things. But average, they're really working to restore muscle strength and function. So it's a lot of exercise-based work. Some PTs certainly do body work, and some do myofascial release techniques. But I think mainstream physical therapy is really rehab-based, right, post-accident, post-injury care. So we refer quite a few of our patients to physical therapy once either while we're working with them or once we feel that they're balanced and able to then move on to the strengthening portion of their rehab. Does that answer?
That makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. In terms of, would massage be one of the many techniques that you might employ in your treatment, or you would?
So I have some wonderful massage therapists that I refer to. You know, I personally don't do an hour-long full massage.
Got it.
I really focus on the cranium and on the spine. I do a lot of muscle work around the back and spine, sometimes hips, but it's not it wouldn't compare to a 1 hour massage, like a Swedish massage with somebody.
Okay, got it. Now, in terms of posture awareness, I know, you know, our kids today are carrying these incredibly heavy backpacks, and it's something else. So in about seventh or eighth grade, I brought my daughter in for her annual exam to her pediatrician. Mm-hmm. And the pediatrician saw that one shoulder, basically when she stood straight, one shoulder was significantly higher than the other. And her first question was, you know, tell me which shoulder how do you carry your backpack? Just show me for a minute. And my daughter, not knowing what she was looking for, showed her, and sure enough, she always wore the backpack on one side. So to straighten that out, she had her wear the backpack equally on both shoulders, you know, as opposed to looking cool, you know, how right. we like to look cool. Right. And, you know, what I'm seeing more and more as I'm picking my kids up and dropping them off is that, for the most part, a lot of kids nowadays are wearing their backpacks the right way. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
When we were young, it would have taken an awful lot in the 80s to get me to put on a backpack the right way, because let me tell you, that was not cool.
Yeah, I agree. I remember doing it myself.
Yeah.
It's a big issue.
So how does posture affect children and adults?
Sure. I mean, and as you were just talking about with the backpack, I mean, that's one of many different things going on right now. I have many teenage patients coming in with tremendous issues. And, you know, the backpack is not only an issue with being on both shoulders, it's an issue with weight. And there is an actual guideline that it's really not supposed to be more than 10% of your body weight.
Yeah.
And many of these young kids are way more than 10%. And in the middle schools right now, I'm finding out from some patients mm-hmm. that they're using string backpacks to carry their stuff during the day because of the fire hazard of having because no one wants to keep their backpacks in the lockers, apparently. And so now they have strings. And I've had to write several letters for patients to be able to use regular backpacks.
Oh, wow.
But getting back to posture, so we in Greenwich have rolled out iPads for every child in our elementary schools and the public
Correct.
Schools.
Mm-hmm.
We have Chromebooks in the middle school and the high school. And there really is not a good education system right now to bring posture awareness to these children. And, you know, in my house, we're not allowed to put an iPad on our lap. You know, that makes your head look straight down. It's an incredible amount of force on the neck. And if you do that starting at age 5, imagine what's going to happen by the time you're 12.
How interesting.
And the studies show the larger the angle,
right,
looking down, the greater the load on the neck. So there's definitely some peer review behind it that it's really going to cause some damage.
Okay.
So you know that we are working with the PTAC committee to put together some posture awareness
right.
for the schools. And so yeah. I'm very excited to get that going, because people need to really understand that kids need to be made aware of posture from an early age, and parents need to really be aware of what their kids are doing with how they're holding their phones, how they're holding their pads, and really, you know, where should their posture be?
Now, let me ask yeah. you, obviously working at a table or a desk is probably the number one choice, but how do you feel about, there are these, I guess it's the old-fashioned meal tray, and I have two of them, and I have the kids, you know, put that, if they want to do their homework in bed, they'll put, yeah, it's like a lap desk,
okay.
right, and they'll put that across their lap and sit in bed with pillows propping them up, and they'll
That's
put
great.
The laptop on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay?
Yeah, so as long as your body is supported, and what I would say to that is if they're going to hold the device up to put their elbows on the surface.
Got it.
So that they're supported. So yeah, there's many ways you can use a mobile device in a more efficient, a more ergonomic way. So certainly leaning back against pillows where the neck is not working
uh-huh.
is a great thing.
Okay.
Sitting in school, you know, at the desk, it should be in the case, it should be in a tilt angle so that they can see the screen without having to look down. If they're typing, they should be using a keyboard. So these are just some small things that they can do, but it absolutely should never be on their lap. And a laptop is a little more tricky, because once you put it on a surface, now your wrists are where the laptop is.
Exactly.
So if that surface is higher than your elbows, that's going to encourage your shoulders to come up. So you have to really play with where you are. And this is why these training programs are important.
Right.
So that we can...
And that coming out of the school system would be an incredible asset to us parents.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. For sure.
Okay, good. In terms of the implications for using mobile devices and mm-hmm. iPads on our bodies, where do you see concern there, and how might we prevent that?
Sure. So aside from the postural obvious concern, there is also a concern for radiation exposure. Many of the devices have in their manufacturer's insert a warning to keep it a certain distance from the body because of this exposure. Most people don't know that.
No.
Schools probably don't know it.
I remember in the old, like back, you know, in the 90s when the phone would get so hot you couldn't hold it by your ear. I remember thinking, and some of
these devices do come with this warning. Some of the newer devices are not quite as much of a warning, depending upon how much radiation is coming out of the device.
Has the amount of radiation lessened over?
I think the newer devices probably have, because I'm not seeing the same warnings on the insert.
Got it.
I know for me personally, and for many of my patients who had some trouble getting pregnant, one of the things you're first told when you're dealing with any fertility issues is to keep laptops off of your lap.
Oh, interesting.
Right. So, and this is one of the first reasons I even thought about this topic, but there is actually a district in Massachusetts who recently passed a Wi-Fi best practices policy, because more and more peer review info is coming out on just the issues associated with Wi-Fi exposure. And with our iPads, using them in school, you know, when they're on, that's Wi-Fi.
Right.
So, you know, we need to definitely start looking into those impacts.
Okay, good. Good to know. Are there concerns for children using these devices at such an early age? You know, the other day I was in session and I was talking about how, well, the kids around 5th, 6th, 7th grade start to do a little bit on the computers and the iPads and a little gaming. And what I was informed by a local mom who has a little one, 3-4 years old, is that apparently, unbeknownst to me because I'm an older mom, but apparently now the children are starting to game at age 2 and 3?
Absolutely. I have kids uploading games in my office at 3 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's been going on for a little while.
Now, I have to tell you, how old was I? Probably around 39, 40 when I got my first flip phone, the old flip phone. And I was anybody who knows me will laugh right now, because I was the queen of texting. I could text with one finger, even though to get like that third letter on the button, you had to press it 3 times. I could text faster. This was before dictation. I could text faster than anyone in the universe. And as a result, I have the start of arthritis in those thumbs. Mm-hmm. And I've also had to go to a hand expert in Stanford and he diagnosed me with, what did he call it, BlackBerry thumb or something? I don't know. And I don't even have a BlackBerry, but that's
texting thumb.
Yeah. So that's probably.
I mean, listen, everything that we do has an impact. You know, it's about awareness as much as anything else. But when you're talking about starting at age 2, 3, 4, 5,
I can't imagine.
What are the impacts? Right. I mean, when in our committee last year, when we talked about digital health and wellness goals, we had a list of 5 things that we were looking at.
Right.
And we don't have the bandwidth to deal with all of it at one time, but there's screen time and what's the impact of that?
Yeah.
You know, we have posture, we have visual, how is the impact on your vision, hearing, if we're using the headphones. So there's many different areas that are of concern.
And I would assume carpal tunnel might come out of some of this.
I mean, anything that you're doing on a regular basis
and
you're putting forces into the body is going to create a repetitive stress injury.
Yeah.
You know, we see it in adults.
Yeah.
Kids, it's a different concern, because not only are we looking at repetitive stress potential injury, we're looking at they're going through growth and development during these times when they're holding their bodies in these positions. You know, look what happens to people working at a desk for 12 hours a day. Their shoulders are by their ears. They have complete tightness across the top of their shoulders. They have forward head carriage. Huh. And, you know, these people are going to look like they're 90 when they're 60.
Right.
And so now what's happening to the kids?
Yeah.
What's going to happen? Their heads are going to be in front of their bodies.
Right.
And it's going to create a lot of forces on their spine. And, you know, I like being busy, but I don't want to see it come from this.
Right. So that education is so important from a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I want to take just a brief break, but when we come back, we'll be talking about what we can do to improve our posture, how we can encourage our kids to be aware of using better posture, as well as staying healthy and supporting our immune system. This is Beth O'Malley at Be Well with Beth, part of the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour. Hour on 1490 WGCH or WGCH.com anywhere.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Periods of rain tapering to showers this afternoon, milder 50 to 55. Considerable clouds tonight, a few showers, low 40s. Rain and rain showers tomorrow, 55. It becoming partly sunny, 50 to 55 Wednesday. Thursday, sunny, 50 to 55. And rain and snow changing to all rain Friday, 45 to near 50 degrees. I'm meteorologist Bill Jackwiman, and that's your Weather Center forecast from 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Venez à Greenwich le week-end prochain pour focus on French cinéma présenté par l'Alliance Française du Greenwich. You're not in France, sorry, but France is coming to Greenwich beginning March 31st with Juste la fin du monde, or Just the End of the World, the first of many remarkable films brought to us by Focus on French Cinema. Just the End of the World is playing at our own Bowtie Cinema on Railroad Avenue at 7:45 p.m. with movies and celebration throughout the weekend, including the opening party Friday evening. Find out more at focusonfrenchcinema.com.
Forensic Talk with Jim Campbell, announcing a new crime show on Mondays at 6 p.m. on 1490 WGCH. All talk and all crime. The nation's biggest murderers were the go-to source for the Moxley murder and the Skakel appeals, financial crimes on Wall Street, inside the crimes of Russia's Putin and more. The facts, the forensics, the inside stories. From the host of Business Talk with Jim Campbell, it's Forensic Talk with Jim Campbell. All talk and all crime, Mondays at 6 p.m., right after the Lisa Wexler Show on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Good afternoon and welcome back. This is Beth O'Malley, local psychotherapist on Be Well with Beth, part of the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour on 1490 WGCH or WGCH.com anywhere. And I am here today with Dr. Alyssa Diamond Fields, the owner and director of Heal Space Integrative Center, right here locally on Summer Street in Stamford, Connecticut. Now, she has been in practice here since 2001. You graduated chiropractic school in
99.
Yeah. Okay. So what I wanted to do is come right back to what can we do to improve our posture? Because as much as I try to sit here and mimic your posture, which is so good, I'll stick to it for about 2 seconds and I'm back into my old ways.
So it's a loaded question, because if we're not comfortable in a good postural position, there is usually a reason. And whether that's restrictions in our spine, muscle spasms, tightness, whatever have you, most people who have restrictions are not comfortable in a good posture position. You just can't hold it.
Got
doesn't
it.
Feel good.
Yeah.
So there's many, many things we can do to improve and to build our posture. I'm a tremendous, tremendous advocate of yoga. I've been doing yoga since high school and dedicated probably since I've been in practice.
Okay.
And it will change the course of your body's function. You know, my big thing is, if I'm going to be here when I'm 60, 70, 80, you know, what do you want to look like when you're
right.
here?
Yes.
You know, we want to be functional.
Right.
And I see in my patients who are in their 70s, and some of them can run circles around me and are amazing. You know, what's the common denominator? They all move their bodies every day.
Yes.
And whether it's yoga or dance, it's something that is not just creating strength, but flexibility and balance. And yoga can really get all of that. You know, Pilates can get some of it too, but really nothing hits everything like yoga. And yoga also has, you know, some meditative quality that is tremendous as well. You know,
when you speak about Pilates, yeah. I'm privately seeing someone locally twice a week.
Great.
And just looking at moving to 3 times a week, doing this reformer,
yeah,
which is a type of Pilates on mm-hmm. a machine. That actually seems
amazing.
To be, yeah.
It's amazing. Anything that's going to help you lengthen and strengthen is going to help. And what's it lengthening and strengthening? Your fascia.
Okay.
It all comes
okay.
back to the fascia. So, you know, those types of things are wonderful for posture. And then really... just awareness. So when you're sitting at a desk, you know, if you're on a computer, your keyboard should be where your elbows are. If it's higher, it's going to make your shoulders come up. So you really want to have that 90-degree angle. Ideally, too, you want your feet on the floor. You want a 90-degree bend in the knee. I don't always do that. I like to sit, you know, crisscross applesauce, even in a chair sometimes. But as long as you get your bottom all the way back to the back of the chair and you maintain the curves in the spine, you're going to be in good shape. If you can't get there and you don't feel comfortable, then you have some body work that needs to be done, whether it's chiropractic or myofascial or what have you.
There's so much going on in my head right now. I think the body work I need is reduction. All right. Yeah. In terms of encouraging our kids to be aware of using better posture.
Yeah. You know, it's a tough nut because moms are telling our kids so many things all day long that it almost becomes like wah, 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 right? So this is one of the reasons I want to bring this posture awareness program into the schools so that it's coming at them from different angles and almost becoming a norm. I think that's going to be the way to get it through to them. Getting through from mom and dad, it's hit or miss, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, so I think if we can get it coming from the schools and creating almost a norm around it would be incredibly powerful.
Yeah. You know, even if it came from the schools, even something around lightening the backpacks, because I have to tell you
honestly.
That's
another issue.
As we were talking about that, I'm thinking to myself, it took me about 6 months of arguments with my son to get him to weed out the papers from this huge binder that they're required to use. I'm not kidding you when I tell you the length of my hand is 7 inches. That was the thickness of his binder in eighth grade and seventh grade.
It must have weighed like 15 pounds in and of itself.
More than that. More than that. It was this huge block, and it would go into his backpack, and then he would use the other opening because the laptop that the school provided couldn't fit in the regular one because there was so much going on. And then around on all the sides, he's sticking. I know it would be around 30, 40 pounds.
Wow.
It was, I couldn't pick it up.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I finally had him sit down recently and weed out. We're down to about half the size.
Yeah.
And he says, I wish I had done it sooner.
Right.
Now, that's because it was me, mom, trying to tell a 13-year-old male how he should organize his life.
Yeah.
If that had come from the school, it would have been such a relief.
So maybe that's something we can add in when we're talking to middle school and high school. And that's a good area to explore.
Right.
Yeah. And I tell my adult patients all the time to lighten their load. You know, I feel their pocketbooks. And so many people do not ever clean out the bag. You know, I have like 7 different bags that I'll just throw what I need and go.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you have to lighten your load. If you're going to be walking around with it.
Right.
It's a big issue.
I use this shoulder strap and put it across, but the one I'm carrying currently, I'm almost embarrassed to have you see because that bag alone empty weighs about 20 pounds.
You're putting it in your car. You're not driving it. You're not walking around with it.
No. All right. Staying healthy and supporting our immune system.
Yeah.
What are the top tips on staying healthy in the winter?
Okay. So top tips on staying healthy just in general, but we'll talk about winter even though we're heading into spring. So you want to always really make sure that you're eating nutrient-dense diet. So, you know, foods that are, you know, fruits and vegetable heavy, limit grains. You know, there's certain grains that are better than others, but that's always going to help boost your body if you, you know, go heavy on the fruits and veggies. We want food to be your medicine as much as possible.
Mm.
Getting some sunlight. You know, winter's tough. If you really can't get any at all, you know, I use a vitamin D supplement.
Right. Yeah. And I recommend that to many of my clients.
Yeah. I mean, I think blood work is good to see your levels.
Exactly.
I don't like to supplement without a reason, but definitely the vitamin D for so many people is a big thing.
I find the B's and D's are what really we see are most likely deficient when there's depression
Absolutely.
And anxiety.
Absolutely. And again, if you're eating a really good nutrient-dense diet, you're going to raise those levels, but certainly the B vitamin's a big issue. Getting exercise, getting movement, you know, whatever makes you happy, whatever type of movement makes you happy, whether it's, you know, running, walking, gym, classes, you know, definitely keeping up with that. That's going to improve immune function.
I like that you said movement, not exercise. I think that's a much better way to put it.
That's what it is. It's movement. You know,
getting your body moving.
I could be stretching as I'm cleaning my house.
Right.
Right. And I do.
Yeah.
I like to hit a few birds with one stone as much as possible.
Yeah.
You know, walk up the stairs, park further away, whatever it is, whatever you can do, right? And then, you know, chiropractic also is a really great way to boost immune function, which people don't know. When you have irritation to the nervous system and you release that and let everything flow and all the circuits firing, it's going to increase your immune function. And they've actually done tests where they saw differences in T levels.
Like wow.
T, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, great.
It's
okay.
The body is just fascinating.
Yeah.
It really is.
I agree. We talked a little bit about supplements, but what other supplements and superfoods do you feel are good to have on hand for health?
Definitely. So we love to have elderberry syrup in our house. Whenever anybody's coming down with anything at all, we definitely will load up on elderberry syrup, a high-level non-GMO vitamin C. We'll definitely do the vitamin D. We'll maybe some zinc. What else do we do? We do squeeze lemon juice into any and everything.
Okay. Now I'm a big fan of lime over lemon. Do you feel both?
Okay. I do both. Yeah.
I just like lime better, but my father had recently said that his doctor had highly recommended lime, and I don't remember why.
Yeah. I mean, they both have limonene, and they both have good stuff. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Any other superfoods?
I mean, we use so many. I mean, you know, all the greens.
Yeah.
For sure.
What's your opinion on these powders that are, at Whole
Foods? Super Greens?
Yeah, the super green powders.
I prefer to get fresh.
Fresh.
I prefer fresh. I mean, some of them, certainly as a supplement, I don't think it's a bad thing. I know there's been some controversy with some nano greens. And, I just really am very cautious. Where was it farmed? Where did it come from? You know, what is it? What's in it? Are there any ingredients in here that I might not like? You know, processing is processing.
Exactly.
So if you can go as limited process as possible, that's always going to be better.
I agree. What essential oils would you say support our health?
Oh, sure. I mean, I love essential oils. We do a lot of work with them. So any of the citrus oils are really great at boosting immune function and also at clearing the air. So there's certain ones, clove and cinnamon and the citruses that have really great antimicrobial properties, so antibacterial, antiviral. There's ones that are really great for opening up respiratory function, so all of the peppermints and wintergreens and eucalyptus. Some of the companies have different blends specific for that stuff. But yeah, we use all of that stuff. I think it's great.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to ask you to do, if you could just give our listeners contact information for you, that would be really helpful.
Yeah, definitely. So you guys can reach me with any questions at drdiamondfields@gmail.com. And also our website in my office is thehealspace.com. I'm in Stamford, right near the Dairy Queen at 999 Summer Street. And
do you have a phone number?
Oh, yes. That would be good. So our number is 203-978-1520.
Now, what I'm going to do is take the audio of the show. I will send it to you to put on your page as well. But all of our listeners are free to send their friends to Be Well with Beth O'Malley Wellness, which is the Facebook page that I use professionally, or O'MalleyWellness.com, which is my website. And I'll have a picture of us together posted up there with a link to the audio. It'll probably be up in about 2-3 days or so. And at that point in time, you can scroll through. If this show was of interest to you, then you might also find the chiropractic show with Tom Nash interesting as well. Not chiropractic, acupuncture show with Tom Nash. And because I think that they really work together well, those practices. Anything else that you really wanted to share?
Well, I don't have a lot of time, and so I am doing quite a bit of advocacy work right now up in Hartford with Health Freedom. And if anyone would like some more information on that, you can go to the Facebook page, which is Health Freedom Action Connecticut.
Terrific.
And there is a community page which goes through a lot of the issues that are going on right now. We have quite a few different bills coming up with vaccine legislation that are concerning. So we will maybe come back and discuss that another time.
Yeah,
I need a full hour for that one.
I'm planning to have you come back in June or July, and we'll do a whole show on that. I'm really excited by it. Well, again, this was Dr. Elisa Diamond Fields, owner and director of Heal Space Integrative Center on Summer Street in Stamford, Connecticut. And this is Beth O'Malley signing off from Be Well with Beth, part of the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour on 1490 WGCH or WGCH.com anywhere.
Support for this program has been generously donated by the Greenwich Sentinel Foundation and listeners like you.
You're listening to the Voice of Greenwich, 1490 WGCH Greenwich.
Sanctuary cost, Iraq investigation. I'm Chaz Henry. Attorney General Jeff Sessions says there will soon be legal and economic costs for cities and states that declare themselves sanctuaries for people in the U.S. illegally.
Not only do these policies endanger lives of every American, just last May, the Department of Justice Inspector General found that these policies also violate federal law.
Sessions saying the Justice Department will begin withholding grant money from so-called sanctuary cities. Were they casualties of a coalition airstrike, or was it something else that took the lives of so many civilians March 17th in an Islamic State-held portion of the Iraqi city of Mosul? Correspondent Arwa Damon.
According to a senior health ministry official, so far from this one site alone, they've managed to extract 112 bodies, but many more are still believed to be buried underneath the rubble.
U.S. military leaders investigating whether a coalition airstrike or some other explosive attack is to blame. I'm Chaz Henry. Speaking by a satellite hookup from Jerusalem today, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu addressed people gathered in Washington for the annual meeting of the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. He congratulated David Friedman, President Trump's pick to be U.S. ambassador to Israel.
David, I look forward to welcoming you warmly to Israel, and especially to Jerusalem.
The Prime Minister alluding to President Trump's campaign promise that he would move the U.S. embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, a move that would imply that the U.S. saw that city as Israeli and not part of a future Palestinian homeland. Mayor Bill de Blasio has decided that the globally popular statue of a young girl staring down Wall Street's famous charging bull will remain in place through February of next year. The 4-foot ponytailed girl in a windblown dress stands on Department of Transportation